Flashback Twin Cities here on KLDB Club 1220. Tom Osmond, back with you with Tom Hsu.
Howdy do.
We got a big show today. We have two guests, and we have our first guest lined up here.
We do.
Our first guest, welcome, Jerry. Now, I want to make sure the name pronounced correctly. Rachel?
Rochelle.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to tell a story here. In 1990, I had seen the Brady Bunch many times, the original Brady Bunch that was on ABC. And in 1990, Nickelodeon, Nick at Night, they aired what I had never seen before. It was called the Brady Bunch Variety Hour.
Right.
And this aired for a few weeks in 1976, 1977. Nothing like I'd ever seen before. And the one part that I remember, and what I find that many people on the internet or people that are TV geeks like myself, that it was not Eve Plum in the show, but it was yourself.
Yes.
And I want to play a little clip of this. And Tom, you have the clip lined up. Let's just hear a little bit about that first moment of the Brady Bunch Variety Hour.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, from one of the first shows we did.
The first show.
Yeah. It was great. It was wonderful. It was unique. It was different. But at that time, there were a whole bunch of, variety shows going on. And, the Bradys just wanted to, be a part of that. And we all, really enjoyed doing it. We had some crazy scenes and a lot of disco songs, so it was good. We all enjoyed it a lot.
Well, and you have to ask you now, you replaced Eve Plum, who decided she had other things to do, and you
right.
were selected from 1,500 girls, including Kathy Hilton, who auditioned for the role, and they selected you.
Wow.
Yeah, can you believe that one? It came down to three finalists, and I was chosen, so I was extremely happy.
And you thought, I'm now part of the Brady Bunch. Had you been a Brady Bunch fan when you auditioned?
Actually, I'd never really watched the Brady Bunch, because when it was being aired, I was also working on television. And on my free time, I would go ride my bike or do something else. So I never really watched it. I've heard of it, maybe caught a little bit of it, but no, I was never a Brady Bunch watcher.
So how did you get word of this audition? Were you just doing a lot of other auditions, and this one was just one of the many you did?
My agent called and said that, they are looking for a girl that looks like Jan Brady. And so my mom, picked me up from high school. I was a junior in high school when I did it. And so she took me up to, do the interview, and they seemed to really like me. I had the long blonde hair and the variety show. My strong points were singing. And also dancing, acting as well. But so I fit, the criteria for becoming a Jan Brady.
Well, I think the criteria for becoming a Jan Brady, actually, you were far and above better dancers and singers in the group here. I think you were probably better trained as a dancer and singer because you weren't a Brady kid. You were actually a working dancer and singer.
Yes, exactly. Because I'd had my own band for 2.5 years, country rock, and I had also toured with Sammy Davis Jr. With his nightclub act. So, I had a lot of singing under my belt already, and toured with Renee Simard all over the USA and Canada. So that really helped. Helped me along the way of getting the part of Jan.
And your website is the official site of Jerry Rochelle, Fake Jan.
Yeah.
So you've embraced this Fake Jan tagline. This is not just something that you are burying in the past. This is something you embrace.
Right. Oh, I love being Fake Jan. My fans seem to really like it. Yeah, it's just a good thing. People need a good laugh in life, and and I want to be part of it. And I don't ever want any of my fans to ever think that I might be trying to pass myself off as the real Jan, because I'm not, So what better way than to be called Fake Jan? I love it. I have stickers and buttons, and people wear it, and I have my own Fake Jan holiday every January 2nd. So, it's a good time.
That's right. I look at the website, January 2nd is Fake Jan Day. And I think a couple things that brought this to life, and tell me if I'm incorrect. One was this show airing on Nick at Night after being in the vault for about 15 years. And the second one was The Simpsons did a parody of this in 1997. And to the audience who does not know what The Simpsons are, you know, The Simpsons, they don't know what they are, but what they did was a parody of variety shows, and they took a lot of the elements from Donnie
Smile
Murray.
Smile Time Variety Hour,
that's right,
it.
The Smile Time Variety Hour.
That's wonderful.
And Lisa, who is 8 years old and has very jagged hair in The Simpsons, well, she was replaced by a tall, blonde, peppy cheerleader type, and you know, we'll call her Fake Lisa.
Yes, exactly. Fake Jan, Fake Lisa, and I was told that they watched an episode of that with me for like a whole week, and trying to get it all down correctly so that when they did, you know, when they did that episode, you know, they would, you know, get it as close as possible to our show. And it was pretty cool because even my son told me, he goes, "Wow, Mom, you're even on the poster in the upper right." I said, "You're kidding me." And he says, "No." I said, "Oh, that's pretty cool." So my fans like that as well, you know, and attached to me.
Did you find your fans came out of the woodwork after the internet and after people were able to communicate outside of just writing you fan mail?
I had a lot of positive fan mail when I was doing the Brady Bunch Variety Hour. I was very lucky. I don't know if I should say lucky, but fans embraced me very well, and they were nice to me, and you know, so I didn't get any like bad fan mail, but my fan base really started happening around, let's say, I don't know, 2000, 2001,
right?
And it just kicked in with a vengeance, and now I've just got them all over the world, all, you know, all around, and you know, they're the greatest, the nicest, and I love you know, conversing with them on Facebook or, you know, wherever. And they come to see me at the conventions I do. And, you know, that makes me feel really happy that they appreciated my work and I appreciate them. So it's a wonderful a thing, yeah.
Looking at your website, I see a picture here with you and the real Peter Brady at a Monkees convention. Is that correct? Is that Peter Brady?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. We just did that in March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd here in New Jersey. There was a Monkees convention and all of us Bradys were there except Marie McCormick. And it was really good seeing each other and, you know, hanging out. And even Robbie Rist was there.
Wow.
And
that's
yeah,
that's so. Cousin Oliver, to those that don't know who that is. And also Ted Baxter's son from the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yeah, that's true.
He appeared on a few shows toward the end of their run, I think. And you know, they history is history. Let's take a break. I want to take a break here, and if you don't mind, Jerry, I want to bring you back here and talk a little bit about the fans and talk about what you're doing now.
Okay, sure.
We'll be right back on Flashback Twin Cities here on KLBB Club 1220.
Live from Radio City Music Room in downtown Springfield, it's the Simpson Family Smile Time Variety Hour, featuring the Wayland Smithers Dancers and the Springfield Baggy Pants Players. And now, a family that doesn't know the meaning of the word canceled, The Simpsons!
Come along and bring the family. Come along and join the fun. Come along and join the family. Join the family, Simpsons! Roll call!
Remember me, my name is Mark. TV Mark's hair is large.
Step back, Mom. It's Bart's turn now. Eat my shorts, don't have a cow.
I'm Lisa Pippi, blonde and stunning. Sophomore prom queen, 5 years running. Go, Lisa!
Well, at least they parodied you really as the best character on the show.
Yeah, it was not too bad.
And to our audience, this is a clip from The Simpsons, and don't worry, I know that many people who listen to this show probably thinks The Simpsons are the ruin of society, but it's a great show, and that was one of the best episodes ever because they hit on the parody of the Brady Bunch Variety Hour so dead on.
Yeah, they did.
I think even the skit where everyone was wearing a beaver costume, I think they got that down pretty well.
Oh, yeah. We wore some pretty crazy costumes from rabbits to me being a chicken to scarecrows. Oh, yeah. We covered it all.
And this was the norm. I mean, I think people forget that in the 1970s and in the 80s a bit, this is what people watched on weekends. This is what was on.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Do you remember there were some really great music guests that you worked with in the Brady Bunch Variety Hour? Do you remember some of those?
Oh, yeah. We had Melanie and we had Tina Turner. And we had the Hudson Brothers. We had the Ohio Players. We had Lynn Anderson. Let's see, who else? We had Paul Williams.
Paul Williams. This is this is not just a makeshift Brady Bunch, even though the Brady Bunch was hosting it. Did the Brady kids snub you? You were fake Jan. Did they treat you nicely? I know you're friends with a few of them now, but...
Yeah, no, actually, they were all very, very, very nice. From day one, they were great. They treated me as if I'd been with them all the time. You know, it made me feel a lot more comfortable. So we got along great. Nobody fought with each other. Everybody got along. We worked well together. So it was absolutely perfect.
So after the Brady Bunch Variety Hour, you went back to high school and decided to live a normal life?
No, after that, I did commercials and stuff, and I did a series of television commercials for Crispy Wheats and Raisins.
Sure.
I was Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz in those commercials, and we'd have different characters from the movie in each commercial, so those were a lot of fun to do. I was supposed to be like 13 years old in them, but I was like 19, 20, 21, 22, 23.
So fake Dorothy. Okay, I like it.
Yeah, I actually looked like Alice in Wonderland.
Did you have the blonde hair? Did you go brunette for those commercials?
Oh, no, I totally looked like Alice in Wonderland. I had the long blonde hair, just like I did on the Brady Bunch, just my normal-looking self. But they really wanted my look, I guess, you know, so they went with it.
I'm really curious.
Sure, why not?
Really curious. You know, you said you have legions of fans. I mean, and people were really embracing of you. Did the producers or anybody say to you, pull you aside, say, you might hear a lot of mean things? Because people don't like change.
No, actually, nobody talked to me about that.
Really?
But for me, I didn't go in it thinking, I never even went in it thinking that, oh, they may not like me. I just thought of it as being, oh, this is going to be the greatest thing I could ever do, sing and dance and be with part of an iconic family as the Brady Bunch. So I never think negative. I'm a super positive person.
I like
so I never think negative, so I would have never thought that to begin with. And fortunately, the fans, they were thinking, wow, she grew up and she changed a little bit, you know, but okay. And then they realized, you know, that, oh, wow, this is a whole new person playing the part of Jan Brady. But they didn't seem to mind. And, I just did my work and I didn't worry about it, actually.
You fared much better than
Dick Sargent. Gone, you know.
What was that, Tom?
I said you fared much better than Dick Sargent. I don't think he had quite the fan base when he replaced Dick York.
Ooh.
Oh, maybe. I'm not sure. I liked both of them. But, yeah, you know, you never know how it's going to go on a show when you replace somebody. But I think I was accepted pretty much, okay.
Now, have you and Eve Plum been in the same room together? That's the picture I can't find on the internet here.
No, that's going to be the million-dollar photo if it ever gets taken, because so many of my fans say, oh, my gosh, you've got to get your picture taken with Eve Plum. You guys have got to meet each other. You know, it's like people are going to be scrambling to take the first picture to get into TMZ or whatever.
So after 30 years, you still have not been in the same room together.
We have never met. We have never spoken, never written to each other. Nothing.
Have you heard rumors?
So this is why it's such a hot item that people want the two Jans to meet really bad.
I feel a challenge here. I think we need to work on this. I think this could be a challenge. This could be a ratings bonanza here.
Yeah. Oh, it probably would be.
Do you know
something? I don't know if it would shoot you up or shoot you down.
Well,
know.
That could happen too.
Do you know if she does? Does she
kidding.
Resent
I'm
you?
Just
does
kidding.
She... Yeah. Does she like you?
I really don't know. I never really heard much about what she said about me playing her part. But one thing I did hear was like maybe she was a little upset the first episode she saw and that it wasn't her, you know.
Was it her choice not to do the show or was it with the producers?
That I really don't know. I don't think it was the producers. But I'm not sure exactly why. I never heard. And I'm not going to speculate because if I don't know the real answer, I'm not going to just say, well, I think. I'm not really sure why she didn't do the show.
Interesting. She did do the subsequent Brady, and I have to admit I did not watch these. I watch a lot of mindless TV. I did not watch the Brady Brides or the Brady Christmas special, but she did every episode since then.
Yeah. I think it's what I think when she tried to branch out, maybe things weren't going quite as maybe she wanted. So she decided to come back, you know, and do that for a little while.
So what are you doing now? What does Fake Jan do in a typical day?
Well, Fake Jan is now recording another CD. I have one out right now, and I'm recording another CD, and it's going great. Oh, I love it. It's so wonderful. And it's going to be almost like all original songs, and the music's good for it. I've been laying down the tracks, and I have a wonderful executive producer for it, Michael Pomerico, and Peter Malis is doing the music for it. And then Robbie Rist is actually working on this project as well. He's doing background vocals for me and giving me guitar tracks and stuff like that to add to the music, as well as my my longtime friend Don Frankel. So I have a really good team working for me. And then I have my my personal assistant is also my photographer, so she'll be doing my my cover for my my CD when I decide what I want on the cover and what I want to call this one. So it's a great team effort, and it's going to be really good. So I'm super excited about that. So that's what I'm working on right now. And I'm also doing a bunch of conventions. I'm going to be doing one September 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Sands Casino Resort Hotel in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It's called Parafest, and it's paranormal and horror. And then in September 14th and 15th, I'll be in Albany, New York at the Albany Marriott doing Fantacon. That's also a bunch of, more or less horror movies and stuff like that. And then November 23rd and 24th, I'll be at the Boston Super Mega Fest at the Sheraton Framingham, Massachusetts. And that'll be just, you know, all over, you know, just not just the horror and stuff, because I've done three horror movies, so,
therefore be horror fest.
I started working when I was six, so, I have a lot of credits under my belt, and the three movies I've done happen to be horror movies, so.
Which movies are those? Because I love horror movies myself.
Okay, well, one I did was The Brotherhood of Satan, and that starred L.K. Jones and Strother Martin, and I co-starred in it.
Sure.
And it's a cult classic, and you'll find it in all horror books under cult classics.
Yeah, she's KT, also, the Brotherhood of
another
Satan.
Another big one. Ooh. That, huh?
KT was your role, the Brotherhood of Satan.
Yeah, and it's on Blu-ray now. It just came out on Blu-ray now.
Nice.
And I was KT, and then I did I Dismember Mama. It's another favorite. It's amazing. In fact, at Fantacon, they're going to be showing it at Fantacon, and I'm going to be narrating it and doing a question and answer with it during that convention. Let's see. And I did one called The Meat Puppet. So I have three horror movies.
I don't think anyone could say you don't have range at this point.
No, I think this is... I want everyone to know this is not just Fake Jan. This is KT Annie. This is you played Blair Warner in Garrett's Girls, but this was a
yes. I actually had the part for that the Garrett's Girls, which was Facts of Life. But I had signed the contract to do those Crispy Wheats and Raisin cereal commercials, and I'd already started rehearsing for the Facts of Life for Blair. And the Different Strokes were also filming. The cast from that was also filming on that lot, so they would come over and visit us. But I couldn't stay doing that part because it conflicted with what my commercial was doing. In today's time, that wouldn't happen. But then, you know, it happened. So, and I also probably... like 99.9% could have had the part of Reagan in The Exorcist.
Oh.
You get Tom excited
really,
here. Really
bad,
Tom's a horror
my mother
fan, yeah.
Wouldn't allow me to do it, so.
Well, that would have been a heck of a thing, though, for a kid. I still don't understand how you would necessarily let your kid be that kind of a role. But,
right. My mom said no, especially when she found out I would have to be hypnotized during one of the interviews and sign a paper, a waiver saying that... that she would allow me to do that.
You would be hypnotized.
Yeah, because, you know, some of the scenes that she did, you know, I was told, like, we may have to, like, swallow some raw eggs or something. And so I went in on the interview, and they tried to hypnotize me. They put a dollar bill on the ground, and they said, now you're going to bend over and try to pick that dollar bill up, and it's going to weigh 100 million pounds, and you're not going to be able to pick it up. I bent down. I picked it right up. You know, but you know, I didn't go under. You know, so
it doesn't work for everyone.
I remember that vividly.
I'm not over the facts of life thing here.
On carpet.
I'm still struggling with this facts of life thing. I mean, we could have had you versus Lisa Wachelle. I'm not over this yet.
Yes, I could have played. I was actually picked to play her part. See, the other girls, what they liked about me, I looked very young for my age.
Mm-hmm.
And the other girls, like Kim Fields and the others, she was like 13 when, you know, she was Tootie, I think it was, when she started doing that. I was 19 when I was picked, so they could work me longer hours. Once you're 18 and up, they can work you as long as they want to. So I was no longer a minor. I would no longer have had to have school on the set or anything like that. But it just didn't work out, and I always say everything, you know, happens for a reason. So I'm not mad. I'm not upset or anything, you know.
Well, I am.
It is what it is.
But that's,
no, you're upset about
I'm upset,
it.
I'm upset, but okay. That's... I'll deal with it, but no, this is a...
I know.
This is a great resume, and I want everyone to go to jerryrachel.com, the official site of Fake Jan. Remember, January.
You can call it fakejan.com. My last name is hard to spell and pronounce, so if you just go to fakejan.com, it'll take you right to my website.
Oh, even easier. I was pulling up Jerry Ruschel.
Yeah.
And your latest album is called 1200 Riverside.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And a great picture of
and
you up here.
And on there, I wanted to, my fans had asked me for a very long time to do, you know, a CD. So then when I got with my executive, music producer Michael, you know, we went through hundreds of songs trying to figure out which ones would be good, which ones I'd done on the Brady Bunch Variety Hour, and we decided that you know, we would mess with one for a few days. No, that's not it. So the songs that I chose, and you know, he helped me pick, were the ones that we thought would be the best for the very first CD that I did. And I especially wanted to do your song because that was my signature song that I sang as a solo on the Brady Bunch Variety Hour. So then everybody started calling your song my song, meaning for me. My fans would call me and say, Elton John's going to be doing your song, but it's really your song, Jerry. I said, okay.
I'm lost, but that's good. I got your song, but it's my song.
It's
there
our
you go.
Song.
I got you confused now, right?
It's not hard to do. That's great, though. I'm looking at some great pictures. If you want to see these great pictures of Jerry with Susan Olsen and with what's Peter's real name again? It's
Chris Knight.
Chris Knight. That's right. I think Peter Brady. Yes. Would call him his real name.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great photos. Jerry, what a great career! I mean, it's not just Fake Jan. It's encompassing three horror movies.
Right.
The Facts of Life.
I did a whole bunch of guest appearances on different television series. Also, when I was growing up, and over 40 commercials, 10 of which I was actually a Mattel toy girl. For a while, I did 10 Mattel toy commercials until they said I was getting a little too old. So my last commercial for them was Rock Flowers, and I was 12, and that's somewhere on YouTube. And I'm kind of rocking out in this hot pink dress.
I didn't even
know it was on there. I never know about any of my stuff, but my fans will write to me and say, "You're going to be on TV tonight, or you're something on YouTube," and I just tell them, "Well, thank you for letting me know."
When's the last time you watched the Brady Bunch Variety Hour?
Well, let's see.
Have you ever watched it?
It's been a while. I don't know, maybe a year. I don't know.
Oh, you have watched it, though.
Occasionally, I will pop it in, but not on a regular basis, no.
It's like a yearbook.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Jerry, we'll have to have you again. We're going to have Eve Plum on one side. We're going to have Jerry on the other side. We're going to do this.
Ooh, spicy.
This is a challenge. I'm on it.
Excellent. Let's go for it.
Jerry, thanks so much. Again, it's fakejan.com. And check out her new CD, her pictures. Jerry, we'll have you on again.
Oh, thank you. I've had a great time. Thank you for having me.
This is Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220. Tom Osmond. We'll be back next week. So long.